In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. So this time of year, I think about a story, favorite story that I have about two buffalo hunters. These two buffalo hunters go out into the wilderness somewhere in Canada, and to hunt buffalo, they have to go way, way out there. And they actually have to take a plane to get to the hunting grounds. And so they land and they begin their hunting expedition, and they're very successful. They kill two buffalo, and the plane comes back to get them at the end of their trip. And the pilot says, "Wow, congratulations, that's fantastic, but those two buffalo are way too heavy to fit in my plane. To get, you know, there's no way we can get back up over the mountains with that kind of weight in the plane." But the two buffalo hunters are insistent, and they tell the pilot, "Look, last year we got two buffalo too, and we put them on the plane. Pilot took off, it was fine." And so they get in the plane, pilot relents, they take off, but sure enough, the plane is way too heavy for them to get up over the mountains, and they crash. The two buffalo hunters stumble out of the crash and look around, and one says to the other, "Where do you think we are?" The other says, "I think we're about a mile from where we crashed last year." There's just something about making the same mistakes over and over again. We have this way of doing that. We just can't help ourselves. Well, we're coming up on the Christmas season in just a few weeks, and I think probably many of us are already trying to cram two buffaloes into a plane and get it up over the mountain. We've already started rushing around, trying to get things ready for Christmas. Pretty soon we'll be trying to get to two or three different Christmas parties on the same day. Many of us are well on our way to overspending and overeating and stressing ourselves and heading for that crash. But in the scripture this morning, John the Baptist says, calls us to something very different. And he says, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight." He reminds us that even if none of that other stuff gets done, what is most important is that we prepare in this time to receive the Lord, who wants to come into our lives. Mike reminded us last week that Advent always begins with a message about the second coming of Christ. We hear television preachers talk about the second coming all the time, but even in our own liturgy, we hear it. Every time we gather at the Lord's table, we look to that second coming when we say, in the last day or in the Lord's day. We're talking about that final coming when God's transformation, renewal of the world is complete. But the second coming of Christ can be interpreted in different ways. The first is that way that we talk about as the end of time, the final apocalypse when everything is made new. But we can also think about it as what happens at the end of our life. Jesus says, "In my Father's house there are many dwelling places, and I will come and take you to myself." So you can think of that second coming as coming for us at the time of our death to draw us close to him. A third way of looking at that second coming is that Jesus comes all the time. Well, I was up on retreat a couple of days this week in Valyermo. There's a monastery, beautiful monastery, up in the high desert. One of the monks said at the Noonday Eucharist, he said, "The day of the Lord's coming is always today." It's always today. So the fact is that all three of these interpretations might be true. If the world is coming to an end, we want to be ready. This is the point of John the Baptist's message, that however we interpret this, we want to be ready, prepare the way of the Lord. If our life is coming to an end, and that could happen for us, any of us, at any time, we want to be ready. Whatever that means, to be ready, we want to be ready. And if the Lord's day is always today, then Jesus is watching and waiting right now for an opportunity to come and be a part of our lives. And if that's true, then we want to be ready to welcome him in, to receive him. And that is what Advent is all about. Whether it's his first coming or second coming or 42nd coming, it's about preparing ourselves to receive him and the message of hope and light that he brings to us. The scriptures say that when the Lord comes, amazing things happen. And I certainly know that to be true in my own life. Isaiah says, when the Lord comes, every mountain is brought low and every valley is lifted up. The rough patches are made smooth. Things that are crooked and out of joint are straightened out. Maybe some of you know the story of Juan Diego. He is Mexico's only indigenous saint. He was canonized by the Roman Catholic Church in 1990, so just recently. And his feast day doesn't appear yet on our Episcopal calendar, but I'm still holding out hope that one day we'll have him on our calendar too. Juan Diego was a peasant who lived in Mexico in the early 16th century. And he saw a vision, an appearance of the Mother of our Lord, one of the few appearances of the Virgin Mary that are actually accepted by the Roman Catholic Church as authentic. So here's the backstory. When Cortes, the great conqueror from Spain, came to the Mexican territories, Mexico City, you might know this, was already there. It was a thriving city. A lot of people think that the Spaniards built Mexico City, but they didn't. It was built by the Aztec Indians. It was a city then of about 5,000 people. It was actually a very highly developed civilization. They had a library system, a public hospital, public education, sophisticated system of streets. When Cortes arrived, though, within a matter of 20 to 30 years, he had practically annihilated the Aztec people, bringing them from 100,000 people in that region down to 10,000. And so in 1521, the remaining people, just the dregs of this civilization, just were absolutely despondent, absolutely beaten down into the ground. And they said, look, just let us die. And that's the date that we mark as Cortes' conquering of Mexico, the territories. They said, you know, look, you've destroyed our temples, you've raped our women, you've destroyed our nation, just let us die. So that year was the symbolic death of culture, of Native American culture in Mexico. But just 10 years later, in 1531, something very significant happened. This peasant man, Juan Diego, sees a vision of Mary, and she asks him to build a temple for her. And he tries to get out of it because he doesn't think himself worthy of the task. When you've been subjugated and pushed down that long, you lose your dignity. And the Aztec people had lost their dignity, their sense of self-respect and worth. But the word had gotten out about this vision that God had come to visit his people, that God was on their side, that God chose this little peasant man, nothing of a man, to do this great task. And the people said, wow. They were encouraged by this and said, wow, God is really with us. God sees our pain. God wants to help us. And suddenly these people who had been really ground down for so long, to the point of wanting to die, now they wanted to live again and to rebuild their culture. And today, if you go to Mexico, as many of us have, you know that in just about every home, you find a picture of the Virgin of Guadalupe, which is what Juan Diego saw. And in many homes here, too, in the U.S. For them, this was a day of the Lord's coming, a day when they had a sign from God that things were about to turn around. In the book of Baruch, which was our first lesson today, the prophet quotes Isaiah and is speaking to Israel, which also suffered as a nation, had been overrun, occupied by a foreign empire, and scattered to the winds. But he says that when the Lord comes, we can throw off the garment of our affliction and our sorrow and put on the beauty of God's glory. He says to the people of Israel, while they were yet suffering, arise, stand upon the height, and look to the east, and see your scattered children being gathered from east and west at the word of the Holy One. That was Juan Diego's experience. Though things were looking very, very dark, he saw a glimmer of hope in a vision of Mary, who said, "You're beautiful. You don't deserve the suffering that has been heaped upon you. Don't believe what those Spaniards have taught you. You are a beautiful people, and God is blessing you." Sometimes all it takes to prepare for the Lord's coming is to pick up our head and look up. This is what the scripture always calls us to do, is to stand and look up. I know of a woman who went into a deep depression as she approached her 40th birthday. And as most of us do, at some point, she was going through a midlife crisis. She was about to turn 40, and things in her life just had not worked out the way she thought they should have, or the way she had hoped. She was filled with disappointment. On the day of her 40th birthday, she cried all day, just really filled with this sense of sorrow and loss. I think many of us know what that is like. We've been there at one time or another. We may be there right now. But then she said, this woman, something happened. Somewhere in that day, she happened upon some random building, walked across and saw this mirror. And she caught sight of herself in this mirror, and written on the mirror were these words, "Behold the face of God's dream unfolding." And she just cried and cried and cried to see her face, behold the face of God's dream unfolding. And so at that point, that was when things began to turn around for her, because she began to see that her life, even as it was, she began to see her life in a different light. It wasn't a disappointment. Her life was the story of God's dream unfolding. Her life. John the Baptist says, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight." And the way that John the Baptist talks about this, about preparing, is about repenting. He says, repent. This is how we prepare. Repentance is one of those words that we hear it and we just kind of go, ugh. Because we associate it generally with these TV evangelist preachers who somehow combine it with this message that you are dirt. You don't deserve the space you take up on the planet. You need to throw yourself on the mercy of God and repent. But the word repentance, what it literally means is turn. Turn toward the Lord. Lift up your head. See that God is near, really ready to bless you. Wherever you are, whether you're on a high peak or whether you're in a low valley, turn and look. You may think your life is crashing around you. You may keep making the same mistakes again and again. You may fear you've been abandoned by God. But Scripture always delivers the same message to those who are in darkness. And that is, arise, stand upon the height, and look to the east. I am on my way. In fact, I never left you. Jim Wallace says this is a creative retelling of Paul's famous line. He says, faith is believing despite the evidence, and then watching the evidence change. Even if all the evidence appears to be going in the wrong direction, faith is about putting our trust in those words that Paul said today in the Philippians. that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of the Lord's coming. If we have had any bit of hope and life in our lives, no matter how dark it is, God is bringing that to fullness and completion, no matter what the world looks like around us, no matter what our own lives look like. Faith, which we are summoned to at Advent, it's about believing that the day of the Lord is always today. Amen.